Okay, so what went on? How did this occur? And what was the impact for the world economy? Well, initially, when the subprime market started to expand in the United States, there weren't too many problems. And there won't be too many problems while house prices are rising. And we saw from just about the first graph that house prices in the United States were rising pretty well continuously from about 1996 till about 2005. Okay? So while those prices were going up, then no great problems. And why wasn't there a problem? Well, essentially, supposing you have a subprime borrower, you know, someone perhaps with a not very stable income or whatever, okay, and supposing they suddenly find that they can't repay the loan, the mortgage loan, what are they going to do in those circumstances? Well, essentially, one thing they can do is simply to sell the house. Okay? They can go back into rental accommodation, whatever it is. But they'll still have gained because they'll have made a capital gain while house prices are rising over the period in which they've lived in that house. So that's fine. You know, no great problems for the lenders. If anyone runs into trouble, they can afford to repay their loan by moving out or whatever. There's no particular problems for the markets. Typically won't default. Now, that's fine. Now, why did the subprime market actually start to expand so dramatically? Well, really there were two events in the United States which were particularly important. The first one, there's some arguments about whether this is significant or not, but I will mention it. There's something called the US Community Reinvestment Act, which has had various phases to it. But the basic idea of this was really quite a nice idea, had very good social objectives, but it ran into some serious problems. What it was trying to do was to try to extend mortgage lending to, let's say, people on average incomes and slightly below average incomes. So it's trying to extend home ownership to groups who are perhaps really not the sort of the typical people which actually took out or bought houses in the United States. And there are good reasons why they would want to do that from a policy purposes. For example, the evidence suggests that homeowners, for example, tend to be better citizens in the neighbourhoods and all of these sorts of things. So there are good reasons why a US government might have wanted to try to extend home ownership if it possibly could. And essentially the Community Reinvestment Act was an attempt to try to force the mortgage lenders in the United States to extend their lending to groups who traditionally would not have obtained mortgages. They would not have been homeowners. The trouble is, of course, as you extend lending further down the income scale, you're taking on riskier and riskier households, i.e. the households who are more likely to default on those loans in due course. So that was one thing which was going on, a policy perspective. And this is actually what homeownership in the US looks like. You could see, this one goes back to 1890, you could see there's a very strong increase in homeownership after the Second World War. Then it levelled out somewhat, and then it sort of started to rise again. And very recently it started to fall again under the consequences of the credit crunch. Now the second reason why the subprime market started to expand was essentially because of the low yields in the United States on conventional securities. Okay, and this was a deliberate policy in the United States to try to keep basically a booming US economy, particularly after the dot-com bubble actually burst. So a particular policy of the US Federal Reserve after that period and for most of the recent years, has been to try to keep interest rates on long-term government bonds really quite low, okay? Which is fine. It's good for borrowers. The trouble is, if you're an investor, it means that the yield you're going to get on your return on conventional financial instruments is also going to be low. So you're more likely to be looking for alternative investments which will give you a higher return. And one of those alternatives is essentially the subprime market. Because remember what I said, that if you're lending to people lower down the income scale, the risk is higher, but correspondingly, the return which you'll get, we expect to get on that investment, is going to be correspondingly higher. So subprime lending became more attractive to investors in recent years when the yield on conventional securities was actually quite low. It's a little graph of it. You can see how the yield on long-term government bonds in the United States has fallen.